But hey, good morning and welcome to Alive Family Church. We're so glad to have each and every one of you guys joining us this morning. We are kicking off a brand new series for the whole month of September that we are titling, Where Are You? And I'm really, really excited about this new teaching series. We are going to, for the next 4 weeks, take a look at four questions that God asked mankind in the Bible and lean deeper into what that invites us into in our relationship with Him. And we're really going to flip the script because, like, I think a lot of times as believers, as followers of Jesus, we're really good at asking God hard questions, right? Like just being like, God, why? If you're so good, then why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? Or God, man, what are you doing right now? What is your purpose for me in my life? Or God, are you really ever going to heal my body or provide for me in the ways that I'm believing you from? Or God, could you ever really forgive me of that thing that I did, that horrible thing that I did? Or even like, Lord, what happens to me, really happens to me after I die? You know, every year we do a series once a year called You Ask For It, where we serve you guys of just kind of what questions you have about God and the Bible. And we did that this past May, and we dove deep into topics like dinosaurs and relationships and salvation and all of that. But I'll tell you what, it's totally okay to ask God hard questions. It's okay to wrestle with our faith and the things of the Word of God. Paul tells Timothy to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. It's okay to ask God the hard questions. You know why? God can handle the hard questions. He can handle them, right? Because He is God. But here's the thing, but I think oftentimes we, if we're honest, have a harder time answering God's hard questions to us, right? Like we ignore them, or we don't fully answer them, or we don't tell the truth about them, or we get defensive about them, or we make excuses about why, or we actually blame other people, other circumstances for things. And I believe God is calling us to a deeper relationship with Him through these very serious questions that we're going to look through this month. And if we're honest with God, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with others, to the answers to these questions, I believe we can experience life more fully and how God intended it, because God wants His very best for His children. Amen? And so the first question we're going to dive into together in this series is this morning is the first question that God ever asked mankind. It's at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. The first recorded question that God asked mankind is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. We're going to look at it just real briefly here, and then we'll dive deeper into it. In chapter 3, verse 9 of Genesis, it said, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you? Where are you?'" And if you're looking for a message title today, real simple. Where are you? Somebody turn to their neighbor and say, "Where are you?" Turn to the other person and say, "I've been here all morning." "I'm here, bro. I've been here all day." In my opinion, that is one of the most important questions that we could ever ask ourselves. When we're honest about the answer to this question, it opens up the door for God to move powerfully in our lives. And so I want to dive deeper into this question this morning. So if you would join me for just another moment of prayer as we open up our hearts and open up our minds and allow God into our space and into our hearts today, asking the question, "Where are you?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we are just so grateful to be here in your presence, in your house. And Lord God, we want to connect with you. We want to grow deeper in our relationship with you, Lord God. If we're stuck or we've been hiding, Lord, we want to get unstuck and come out of hiding, Father God. And so, Lord, we thank you. We welcome you and your Holy Spirit here. Search us and know us. And Lord, help us be honest about this question. Where are you? Where are we at, Lord God? Help us lean into it and have the courage to take a step further into that question and be real and raw and serious about it, Father. And I believe, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would take us deeper into relationship with you, Lord God, and help us live the life that you've called us to live. We pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said, amen. So where are you? The first question that God ever asked mankind. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read a few passages of scripture surrounding this question just so we can get the context. And so while you're turning to Genesis 3, whether you have your physical Bibles with you, remember that one time we used to give you candy when you guys brought your Bibles? What happened to your Bibles? No, I'm just kidding. The candy ran out, right? Yeah, so... yeah, this ain't kids' church. Praise God. You can bring your Bible here. Just a side note, you can bring your Bible to church. It's actually a really good place to bring your Bible, all right? Everyone's like, yeah. All right, if you got it on your phone, that's cool. Or you just wait for the screens. We have it there too. No judgment. But Genesis, it's a book of beginnings. It's the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 is the beautiful account of the creation, right? God creates the heavens and the earth and the land and the sea and the stars and the birds and all those things, right? Then we move into chapter 2, which is a direct zoom in on day 6, which is the creation of mankind. We have Adam and Eve and all of that. And then you get to Genesis. Things were going good, right? Like things were awesome. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and it's like... like you get to chapter 3 and it's like, oh, the fall, the temptation and fall of man. Yikes, right? And so this is where we're picking up here in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13 together and then as a whole, and then we'll dive into this question. Starting, whoa, sorry, my iPad almost did a face plant there. Starting in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her and he ate it. The eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And we'll just stop there. There's so much more we could read in Genesis 3, and we get all the consequences now of the fall of sin and the curse and all of that. But real quickly, let's zoom back into chapter 3, verse 9, the whole text for kind of this series and for this morning specifically. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? This is a short yet powerful question. The very first question that God asks mankind in the Bible, where are you? And I believe it's one of the most important questions in the Bible. Not because God needed the answer, but because we need the answer. Not because God was clueless about what the answer was, but sometimes we as mankind are deceived or in hiding. We don't know the answer to that question, and that is a problem. It's a problem for us, but it's also a problem for God because he wants us connected and in relationship with him and to know fully where we're at and where we're heading, right? And just like God asked this question of mankind in the Garden of Eden, I believe that God is still asking this question to mankind today. He's saying, where are you? And we all have to wrestle with and come to terms with the answer to this question in our own lives. And so for the remainder of our time this morning, I want to just dive deeper into this question and really unpack it for you guys and really look at the meaning, the true meaning of this question. What was God meaning when he said, where are you, Adam? And what is God's meaning when he says to us even here this morning in God's presence, where are you? Because I believe it's going to help all of us on our spiritual journey. And so the first thing I want to highlight about this question is, number one, if you're taking notes, God wants us to know our spiritual location. God wants us to know our spiritual location. God calls out to Adam, where are you. And it's important for us to realize and understand that God was not asking about Adam's physical location. God was not wondering where Adam was physically in the Garden of Eden. Usually, though, I think our default is when we hear the question, where are you? We're thinking of a physical location. God was not looking for Adam and Eve's physical location. That's not what was going on here. God and man weren't playing some cute little game of hide and seek in the Garden of Eden where God's like, 8, 9, 10, ready or not, here I come. Adam, where are you? God's not doing that. He wasn't having a cute game of hide and seek, right? He is going much deeper level, heart level with this question. God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were and what they had done. For those of you guys who are maybe newer to your faith or newer to the Bible or Christianity, the Bible teaches us that God is omniscient. And that is a really big, fancy word of saying God is all-knowing. We serve a God who knows everything. We see in 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it said, "And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." God knows everything, right? Go on to Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are numbered." What is this saying? God knows if a sparrow falls and dies, God knows it. God knows the number of hairs you and I have on our head, or I like to say, or lack thereof. He has the full count, amen? And he is fully aware of everything that is going on. And then we see in Psalm 139, David's heart tells us about how God knows all things, 1 through 4. He says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." So we serve a God that is all-knowing. He is omniscient, right? And so God is not asking the question so that they can, that he can know where they're at or that they can know where they're at, but instead to give man an opportunity to own up and come to terms with the fact, where are they at? But not physically, spiritually. The question, where are you, is not a physical location, it is a spiritual one. God is asking this question to them to expose the spiritual condition or location of their hearts. Where are you spiritually? Where are you emotionally? Where are you? Where is your heart at? Where are you, Adam? Where are you in relationship to me? Because something shifted, something changed in the garden. There's some distance there. Where are you spiritually? This is such an important question that God asked Adam. He's inviting him to look inward and to be honest about his spiritual location. Where are you? It's a question that leads us to self-examination, to look inward and be honest with the true condition of our heart and our spiritual location with God, to locate ourselves. And like I mentioned before, just because this was the first question asked thousands of years ago to mankind, I don't think God has stopped asking this question. I believe he's here today. His presence is with us. And no matter whether you're here in the seat and physically or you're watching or listening later online, God is here. He's present. And he's still calling out to mankind and asking them, where are you spiritually? Where do you find yourself spiritually at this current moment? Where's your heart at? Because how many of you guys know, God cares about the condition of our hearts. God certainly cares about it, right? It's important to him. It should be important to us, right? Our heart is what God is actually looking at all the time. We know this from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. "But the Lord God said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? The heart.'" So God is looking and watching and searching and seeing our hearts, right? And why does he care about the condition of our heart? Well, we know this from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, For everything you do flows from it, right? Why are we to guard our hearts? Because God is saying, hey, it is the main thing. It's where all of life flows from. If we let our hearts get muddied, if we get our hearts calloused, if our hearts get hurt, if our hearts are distant from God, that is a very dangerous spiritual condition, right? Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They were tight. They were connected. And then they disobeyed. And then they were not. And God felt that. Adam and Eve felt that. The whole garden felt that. There was a distance there spiritually because they did not guard their heart. Which is why God's question, where are you, is so important. It's a spiritual question. It's a heart question. It's not a physical location. Because here's what I've learned, and you guys might be able to agree with this too. You can be one place physically, but a different place spiritually. Isn't that true? You can be one place physically, but a totally different place spiritually, right? Even like church, for example, a lot of us, maybe you're here today and you can be sitting in a physical seat in God's house, but your heart can actually be really mad or distant from him, right? Like that has happened before. Maybe we've experienced that where like I'm in the right place, but my heart is not connected to this. Maybe in a relationship or a marriage, right? You can be in the same physical room as your spouse or somebody you have deep connection with, yet your hearts can feel like they're a million miles away in the same moment, right? Or maybe even with your work or your job, or your business, or your vocation, right? You can physically go into work or you can physically open up your work computer if you work remotely, but your heart can be so not connected to what you're doing, right? We've all been in serious situations and circumstances where it's like, I'm here, but I'm actually here, right? I'm physically here, but spiritually or emotionally, I'm somewhere completely different. God wants us to know our spiritual location and the condition of our heart. It can help us so much because locating where we're at is so important if we want to get to where God has for us, right? We have to know where we are right now. And it works this way in the natural. A lot of you guys are familiar. Maybe some of you guys took a road trip. Anybody take any road trips this summer for summer vacation or actually drive anywhere? No one? Okay, that's lame. No, yeah, I got a couple hands. All right, sweet. You know, sometimes we do this. We stop at rest stops along the way and you go to the bathroom. A lot of times we're waiting for everybody to come out because not everybody comes out at the same time. And we go over to the old school map. Does everybody know what a map is? It's like a piece of paper that shows you where to go. Yes, it's not digital at all. It has nothing to do with Wi-Fi, all right? It's a map. And oftentimes on the map, you're working there. You're like, where are we? How long do we have to go? You see this little star. And then next to the star, there's these letters. You are here, right? But we're going here. And the kids are like, oh, wow, we've still got a long way to go, right? It's like, hey, it's all right. This star will move quicker if you don't complain, right? It's kind of what we try to teach them. Like, it will go quicker if we're not asking how many times, are you there yet? Are we there yet, right? You have to know where you're at to know where you're going, right? But a lot of us don't do the old school Atlas maps anymore, right? You guys remember MapQuest in the 90s? That was like the coolest thing. Hey, I got my MapQuest printed out. You know what I'm saying? It's like 18 pages front and back, and I'm not going to get lost. You know, I'm just going to read this thing while I drive and it's going to be safe for all humanity, right? While I'm looking down at this paper knowing where to turn. No. Praise God for technology, for apps. A lot of us navigate now through apps. Amen? And I love a good navigation app, right? But have you ever put in the address of somewhere you want to go but realized you didn't have your location services enabled? Guess what? You ain't going to get there because your phone's going to say, nope. Why? Because it don't know where you're at currently. If you don't know where you're at, it can't tell you and navigate. The GPS will not be able to help get you to where you're supposed to go. And we get this. This is funny. This makes sense. We use this every day of our lives. We are creatures of maps, right? Like you can't even go to downtown Brighton without plugging it into your Google right now. You know how to get there. Like, you know how to get there, but let's just plug it in so I can see it, right? It's just like a comfort for us. It's like, man, if the Wi-Fi goes out, we are all in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, where are we going? Like, how do we get here, right? Like we're getting dumber. It's a smartphone, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Interesting. Smartphone, dumb brain? I don't know. But as the same way this works in the natural, the same way it works in the supernatural, spiritually, right? The most important question that any of us need to ask ourselves is this one that God asked in the garden. Where are you? Not firstly, what should I do? Or God, how is this all going to work out? Or oh my gosh, where are you taking me? Those are all important questions that God wants to give us the answer to. But the first one, the starting place, the coordinates that we need to plug in to our spiritual heart app is simply the starting point. Where are you? It's the most important question because it'll help you know what to do next when you can locate where you're at here first. And maybe you're here this morning, you're listening online, you're feeling very distant from God, you're feeling very spiritually dry. It's time to start taking a step towards God and allowing him to draw near to you. But we've seen it over the years, you know, summer break often sometimes unfortunately means break from God, break from church, break from rhythms. And so as we get back into this fall thing, I just can only imagine that maybe some of your hearts are really excited to be here, which I'm so excited that you guys are here, but you're also feeling like a distance from God and you know you could be closer, but you're not, but you're here. So you're taking a step and God says he'll draw near to you when you draw near to him, praise God. But my goodness, we need some help here. And so if you're distant right now, if you're spiritually dry, if you're drying up on the vine, if you're like, man, God, I want to get back to that sweet spot with you. We try to make it really easy in this fall season for you to do that. Pastor Erica mentioned it, but we got 21 days of prayer that starts tomorrow night. Man, sometimes you don't know where to start. We say, hey, try the first 15. What's that? First 15 minutes of your day, give to God. 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in worship, 5 minutes reading your Bible. If you don't know where to read, we've got scripture for the day, a focus of a prayer focus on a bookmark that you can grab. Jump in and just start consistently showing up and saying, God, I'm here, whether you feel it, whether you're excited about it or not, just start showing up and saying, God, here is my heart. I open up to you and recultivate and fan into flame that relationship with God. We've got revival night starting tonight, right? The first Sunday night of every month, right? From 6 to about 7:30. And so my goodness, if you want a little extra beyond Sunday morning, you need that little fire starter, come on out to revival nights for worship and for prayer and for the word. Maybe for some of you, it's just simply, hey, I need to start making church attendance a priority in this season. I need to get back to what would it look like if me and my family for the next 10 Sundays said we're in church every single Sunday. Doesn't matter if our favorite team won or lost the night before, if we stayed up too late, if it's raining, if it's sunny, if it's snowing, I don't care. I need to get to God's house and I need to get to God's presence. I need to get my kids in here because we flourish in the courts of my God. What would it look like to just make a commitment to say, God, I'm going to get in godly community. And next week when those crew registrations open up, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to sign up for a crew. And not just sign up, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up. I'm actually going to be committed and put those in my calendar and guard around those because I want to get in, like Pastor Erica talked about last weekend, godly community. Amen? There's nothing like godly community. But maybe you're asking that question, where are you? And you would be honest, you know what, Pastor? I'm angry. I'm frustrated about something. Well, you can either stay there or you can go to another place, right? What is that anger trying to tell you? Lean into that anger. What are you angry about? Have you been wronged? Is there an injustice in your life? Is there inequity in your life or your relationships? Is there something that's been done to you or is there something that's been taken from you? What are you angry about? What do you care about? And let God lead you to say, I see you in that and I want to help you get over here. But you cannot get over here unless you're honest about where you are right now. Maybe you're sad. What are you sad about? Bring it to the Lord. Submit it to the Lord. Let him hold that weight. Let him minister to your heart. Or maybe you're on the opposite side. I don't want to just be like doom and gloom this morning. Maybe you're like, man, where are you? Maybe you're like, I'm closer to God than I've ever been. I'm more in community. I found my home church. I'm plugging in. I'm flourishing. My family is blessed right now. I'm loving it. Well, that is awesome. You need to know that. And also know that we serve a God who always has more for us. Amen? He's always got something better, something we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And so God's got more for us to stay committed to showing up, to stay committed to serving, to stay committed to honor the Lord in every area of our life. But where are you? Do you guys get what God's asking us? It's not, I'm behind the third tree to the left, God, in the garden. The big oak tree, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, he's not asking about the location. God knows anyways, right? And actually, God already knew where their spiritual condition was. The question wasn't for God's information. It was for mankind's information, for our acknowledgement, our enlightenment. The next thing I want us to see about this question is, where are you is, number two, God pursues us when we are lost. I love this nature of our God that we serve. There is something really interesting that we can miss or skip over if we rush too quickly through this Genesis chapter 3 narrative. That after mankind sinned, and it's this, after they blew it, it's this, God pursues us. God seeks us out even when we've blown it. Right after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, their eyes were open and they made coverings for themselves. Don't we always try to do this? We try to atone for our own sins. We're like, we're naked. This is awkward. I'm going to try to cover for myself. That will never be good enough to get us to heaven. That'll never be good enough to fully cover that. We need to come to God, right? But they're in their shame and they're hiding. Look, we see this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Let's go take a look at it really quick. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Remember, if God is omniscient, he already knew where they were. He already knew what they'd done. He already knew the condition of their heart. He knew that they had sinned. He knew that they had disobeyed. He knew that they had eaten of the fruit of the tree that he told them not to. Yet, what did we read? God was walking towards them in the cool of the day. God was walking in the garden, looking for them, initiating, pursuing a relationship with mankind in their deepest spiritual separation. I don't know about you guys, that should be good news for us. When they hid themselves, the Lord immediately called out, "Where are you?" This is a powerful truth that from the very, very beginning, God has been pursuing us. God has been recklessly seeking us in our hearts, right? Even in our sin, even in our mess, even when we're in hiding and in our shame, even when we've blown it and made a mess of our life, God seeks us out. God pursues us. God wants a relationship with us. What great love and great mercy does God have for us, church? And we see this pursuit of mankind even after their mess, all the way through Scripture. I don't have time to go into all of it, the waywardness of the nation of Israel. They would rebel, they'd go away, then they come back, they go back. He was always there pursuing them all the way up to his son, Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus' mission statement, God in the flesh, as Jesus, his mission was to seek and to save those things that were lost. We see all throughout Scripture, Jesus teaches through many of his parables that God seeks us and pursues us. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the prodigal son story that we're all familiar with in Luke 15, right? This is all about a relentless and passionate pursuit of mankind, regardless of their activity. Here's what I know about humanity. We want to be found. I'll tell you what, we want to be found. And we can see that from the earliest stages of life. You ever have a newborn and you play peekaboo with it? The baby, so concerned, then so happy, right? Like, where'd they go? Where'd mom and dad go? Like where'd the person go, right? We want to be found. Have you ever played hide and seek with little kids? I always would get a kick out of this. You know, you're playing dumb as a parent, like, "Where are you? I can't find you." And the kid would pop out before you found him. "I'm right here." Why? Because they want to be found. Like, you're supposed to wait until I find you. I already knew. I heard you like rustle in that thing and you're already over there. Like, I knew. It's kind of like God. Like, I'm omniscient. I know. Like, I know you climbed in that thing and that's where you're hiding, but I'm going to play dumb for a little bit, right? And the kid pops out before the game's over and says, "Here I am." Why? Because deep down in our heart and our soul, in humanity, we want to be found. We want to be seen. We want to be fully known. We want to be fully loved. We want to be fully valued. We want to be fully pursued. We want to be in connection and relationship with people. That's how God has wired us. And even when we're lost and even when we've sinned, even when we made a mess of things, God is pursuing us. "Where are you?" is a pursuit question. It's not a shame on you question. It's God saying, "Man, I want connection with you. And I know you're not in a healthy place right now, but I want you to be in a healthy place. So I'm going to walk through the garden and I'm going to take a step towards you. I just hope that you take a step back towards me." Wow. So God asked this question in pursuit of mankind because we were spiritually lost and in our sin. And some Bible scholars, I found this interesting in my study this week, that believe that the Hebrew for the question, "Where are you?" Some Bible scholars believe that it actually translates, "How are you?" So I think we come in and we're like, God's mad, they messed up, and we always read it this way, "Where are you, Adam?" Like angry, like God's gonna hit us with a baseball bat because we screwed up. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I thought that was God. That was my image, this old grumpy man with a really long beard sitting on the throne waiting for me to swear or steal a piece of candy or do something wrong. How many of you guys know that's not a loving father? That's not the God of the Bible. That's a God that we made up in our mind and it keeps us from experiencing relationship with him. God isn't saying, where are you? He's saying, how are you? Do you see how the tone changes? You see how God approaches mankind even in their biggest mess as, Adam, how are you? Where are you? I feel this distance between us. It ought not be like this. Where are you? I love this. God doesn't respond to mankind's sin with confusion and anger. He responds with compassion, with an invitation to come and be with God. And guys, the good news about all this is that, man, the same God that was in the Garden of Eden pursuing mankind in that first sin is the same God that you and I worship and serve today, who is still after your heart, who is still recklessly running after you and pursuing you. The very first missionary effort was not a missionary journey where we sent people overseas to help reach people. The very first missionary effort happened in the Garden of Eden when mankind sinned and were separated, and God started to walk through the garden in the cool of the day and say, where are you? How are you? To try to reconnect spiritually with us. When you honestly answer the question, where are you? Maybe you're here this morning, you feel lost right now. You feel like, man, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in my sin, or man, I'm just ashamed. I'm just so ashamed about some things that I've done, or that things have resurfaced, or the condition of a relationship. Maybe you feel so distant or far from God, or frustrated about like where you're at. Like, God, why am I here in this position at this age and this season? Why am I dealing with this? Maybe you're super frustrated. Maybe you're confused and you don't know which way to go or what to do or what the answer is. Man, we could go on and on and on and locate every single one of us in this room. Maybe you're like, God, me and you are good, but I just know it's not fully good. And I just know there's more there. And I'm kind of like, ugh, like, what is that? What am I missing? What's in the way right now? Wherever you find yourself, be encouraged that the God of the universe is pursuing you. God is after you. He's trying to initiate relationship. He's not scared of your mess. He's not intimidated of your sin. He knows fully well where you are at spiritually, yet he is still running towards you. And he already backed it up by sending his son Jesus. Right? I'm always encouraged. I thought of this as we're going through this. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. So encouraging. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're in the midst of our sin and our mess, Jesus died for us. God pursued us. No matter what your answer is to where are you, no matter where you find yourself today, know this, that God loves you, he has a plan for you, and he's recklessly running after your heart. And for a purpose, which leads us to my last point here, number three. God wants to restore us to his presence. God wants to restore you and I into his presence. See, in asking this question, where are you? God is seeking to restore his relationship with mankind. And if we put that into our today and our present, God is seeking to restore our relationship with him. See, Adam and Eve, they ran away from God's presence and they started hiding in their shame among the trees, the Bible said. And in that place of separation and distance, God says, where are you? Let's look at it one last time, Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God said and called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Or how are you? Not only does God pursue you and I when we're lost, but he wants to restore us back to his presence. He wants to bring us back into that intimate space with him. The question, where are you, is an intentional invitation for you and I to locate where we're at spiritually, to tell the truth to God, to tell the truth to ourselves, to tell the truth to others around us, and to find our way back to his presence. It is an invitation to come out of hiding and into the light. It's an invitation to be in God's presence and in God's truth. Where are you was actually a question to give us an invitation for confession and to tell the truth about our spiritual condition. It's an opportunity to acknowledge what might be standing in the way from us and God, what might be creating some separation or some hang-ups there. Right? And I think we've said this before, but I think this is becoming more and more apparent to us that God can't heal what you conceal. what stays in the dark doesn't come to the light. If it's not in the light, it's still in the dark. If the dark has it, then the dark has this and has you, and the darkness has you. When it comes to light, it doesn't mean it was right. It doesn't mean there's no consequences that come along with that. But my goodness, some healing can happen when it comes out of the dark and into the light. Amen? It's a very vulnerable place. We have to acknowledge or confess where we're at right now, currently, before we can ever get to where God has for us. And I know a lot of you guys were with us about 2 weeks ago when I first spoke back coming off of my mini sabbatical. Pastor Erica's on hers and enjoying hers, which is great. But you know, I'd shared my heart, like I've been really wrestling with this question in this season of my life for a while now. This, where are you? Yeah, I know I live in Brighton, Michigan. I pastor a Life Family Church and I have amazing kids and all this, but like, where's your heart? What's going on in your heart? And you know, I've realized, I kind of shared this transparently with you guys, I've just realized recently that there's been this perfectionist performer part of me that seems to like to like come over out of the passenger seat and take the steering wheel and like drive situations, but it unfortunately it prevents me from showing up with my true authentic self sometimes. And I realized, man, that's heartbreaking, because that means I'm not truly fully living in every moment as God intended for me to live. It's really wrecked me. It's really messed with me a lot. But I'll tell you what, I'm nowhere perfect, and I've got like a super long journey ahead and a lot of crap. I almost swore. That's awesome. Some of you guys are like, do it. Yes. Do it. I dare you. A lot of shh. Quiet. Just dealing with a lot of stuff, and still work in progress, but I'll tell you what, I just want to invite you. I just felt like somebody needed to hear this morning. I am feeling God's presence more than ever in this area of my life. And I feel his hand backing and pushing and like walking me through this simply because I've acknowledged it. I didn't pretend like I was perfect and I don't just stuff it. So many of us are so good at stuffing and putting on our church face for 30, 40, 50 minutes and then getting out and going back to the, there's no way to live. And there's no presence backing that. There's no authenticity behind that. But my goodness, I feel him presently just guiding me forward. And I feel like that same invitation is for somebody here or somebody's here today. Maybe you've been dealing with something where you're not living fully alive in the way you know God has created you to. And you've been hiding, covering yourself, hiding behind trees. And God's just saying, where are you? I already know where you're at. You can't fool me. Isn't that crazy? We can't fool God. Maybe I'll just pretend like he doesn't notice. He's omniscient. He's like, bro, sis, just tell me what you're dealing with because I already see it. He's a perfect gentleman and he's given us free will. So he wants to save. He wants to pluck us out of that lost position, but he cannot do it unless we give him permission to do it. And that comes to when we answer the question honestly, where are you? When we acknowledge that thing or that issue or that situation that's beyond us, that we have no control over. Because here's the deal. I believe that deep down, every human being has a deep longing to be in God's presence. We were made for presence. Whether we realize it or not, we want to be in God's presence. And God's presence is where we need to be. This reminds me of Moses in Exodus 33. Just a random scripture kind of shoot off. Moses was leading God's people through the desert. And they're like, Moses is like, man, I got a lot of complainers up in here. And like, God, I know you want me to go to the promised land, but you got to promise me that your presence is going to go with us. Because if it ain't, I'm not doing this junk. I'm not leading these people. This is getting crazy. It's getting hard. And he says this in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15. I love this. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. For some of you, you might be here today and you're like, man, I'm in the roughest spot of my life. I find myself in some really dire straits right now and I don't know what to do. If God's presence doesn't go with you, then man, I don't know about you, there's no hope in that. There's no hope in that, right? But if God's presence goes with you, then that unlocks a lot of potential, a lot of power, a lot of breakthrough that can happen. We need God's presence. And get this, God wants to restore us to his presence. The question, where are you, is the key. If you want the key to open the door to this, the key is answering honestly, where are you? And it's the key that opens the door for God's power to move in our lives. By being real and honest, when we honestly answer, where are you? It opens up the door for God's presence to meet us right where we're at. And isn't that right where we need to be? When the door opens face to face with God, fully exposed, but not in shame, not in hiding. Do you guys believe that that's how God intended for us to live? That that's where his truest power is found? The truest healing is found in a place where you're face to face with your maker and your creator, and there's nothing to hide, and he knows everything wrong you've done, but like you're still there because you just feel this love that he has for you no matter what you've done. Isn't that a beautiful place? Isn't that a beautiful invitation when you have that key that opens the door to him? So if you're here today, maybe you are sad or you're brokenhearted. I hear God saying, I'm there. I'm here right with you. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe you're here and you're stressed out. You're overwhelmed. I hear God saying, I want to bring peace. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're worn out. You're exhausted. You are literally mentally, physically, emotionally exhausted. Have you ever been there before? You don't know if you can go another day or show up for another moment or conversation. You are exhausted. I hear God saying, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you've been dishonest and you've lied to God or yourself or others. And you're just like, man, what do? I need freedom right now, and I feel so bound. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Maybe you're feeling like God and you are super distant. It's like miles away. God is just asking you to take a step towards him because he's already been running towards you. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Maybe you're in that sweet spot. Maybe you're like, no. Hey, things are good right now. Me and God are in one of the best places we've ever been. I just want to say that is awesome. And remember, you ain't done yet. Don't park it in neutral. Don't coast. There's more that God has for you, even in that place. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And maybe you're here and you're feeling hopeless. You're at that place where it's like, I can't. God, I can't. I can't fix this. I can't manipulate this. I can't control this. I can't will it. Remember, God can. Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Man. No matter where you are, God wants to restore you to his presence. Quick side note. Another key in restoration to God's presence is actually running to the right tree. All right? This is like another message another day. I'm just sneaking this one in here last minute. All right? Is that cool? We're closing up here. Don't run to the wrong tree. Adam and Eve could eat of all the other trees in the garden, but they weren't supposed to eat of the one. They ran to the one. And it messed some things up, right? And then they messed up and they tried to sew their clothes, right? They worked on their fit and they ran to the other trees in the garden. Those trees couldn't hide them. Those trees couldn't protect them, right? They ran to the wrong trees. But there's a tree on Calvary. There's a right tree that we can run to. See, Jesus died on a cross. The cross was made of wood. Guess where the wood came from? A tree. And he broke the separation and sin and shame and the distance between us and God. He literally stretched out his arms on a cross, signifying where we were and where God is and bringing us together in him. So we run to the right tree, we run to the cross. And so what is our response this morning? It's simply this, to be honest about the question, where are you? How are you? Where are you spiritually? Where is your heart right now? And just being honest in this moment. And remember that God is pursuing you. No matter how lost or no matter what the answer to that question is, doesn't disqualify you from God's pursuit of you. And then also just know with confidence that God does and is wanting to restore you to his presence. All we have to do is just come fully to him. Church, would you go to me or go to him with me in prayer today as we just say, God, let's answer this question. Where are you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful for your presence here and this invitation that you've given us to respond to this age-old question that I believe you're still speaking to hearts and asking to us today. Where are you? Lord, to know our spiritual location and to not be ashamed of that, but to have courage to acknowledge where we find ourselves today. Father God, I pray that you would also move us forward and understand that God, no matter what we've done or where we find ourselves, Lord, that you are pursuing us, you're running after us. And also, Lord, that we would know fully more today, more deeply, more intimately that God, you want to restore us and you actually are in our midst restoring us back to your presence, which was what we need to live a life alive unto you, Father. And so, Lord, I ask you all over this room and everywhere under the sound of my voice on this recording, Lord God, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you search us and know us and that we are honest and we show up for this moment, Lord God, because this is the starting point for us moving forward into all that you have for us today. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody agree with that. Said, amen, amen. Who's glad they came today? Come on. Praise God.